You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 26th of October 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, since this Islamic extremist murder of David Amos last week, there's been a lot of concentration on the anti-extremist organisation Prevent, because he was flagged up to this organisation some time ago, and yet he was still able to murder an MP. And it turns out that quite a few of these Islamic extremists had actually been referred to Prevent, and Prevent were unable to prevent them from carrying out their terrorism. And this report has been looking into this, and they're actually saying a lot of the things that we've been saying here at Radio Albion for quite some time, and the sort of things that other nationalists have been pointing out, surprisingly enough. Prevent is being undermined by activists who are opposed to its very existence being allowed to decide if individuals need to be de-radicalised, a review will find. As it emerged, Islamists behind four recent attacks were all referred to the scheme. The review, which will be handed to Priti Patel next month, found that Prevent was ineffective in some parts of the UK because councils were involving Muslim groups with a divisive agenda. Some authorities in the southeast of England have even appointed Prevent coordinators, who are against the strategy entirely, sources told The Times. Now, why would it be that Muslim groups are opposed to this? Well, the problem is they have loyalties to other Muslims, don't they? So even if you have Muslims that have carried out jihadi attacks, they are still Muslims. I mean, it has been heard that when some of these people have actually gone to court, the magistrate or the judge has said to the person in the dock who they've been sending to prison, you'll have plenty of time in prison to study the Quran and understand the correct interpretation of it. So they are still seen as Muslims. And I would suggest that there is this loyalty there that's to them. I wouldn't say that it was wrong to have that loyalty to them. It's wrong to try to prevent this organisation from actually helping and stopping them from carrying out terror attacks, but it's not wrong for them to actually have this loyalty there. And they basically point out that people that are suggesting that a Muslim is an extremist, that they must be Islamophobic. I mean, they're probably basing that on people pointing out that a Muslim may be against homosexuality or something like that. And they get reported for that. And then the Muslim groups will say, well, this is being Islamophobic because Islam is against homosexuality. So this is being homophobic, this or Islamophobic. This person may well not actually be a risk, but it turns out that they are a risk. So this is one issue with this, by having Muslim advocacy groups on the panel. The other issue is that there are no nationalist groups on the panel. No nationalist groups there to point out whether they think that somebody who's been referred for so-called far-right extremism, whether they think that that could lead on to violence or it may not lead on to violence. You see, they don't actually have nationalist experts. They have Muslim experts, but they don't have nationalist experts. Instead of nationalist experts, they have people on the far left that claim to be extremist experts. And you could really get rid of all the so-called far-right terrorism, anybody that they suspect of far-right terrorism and they refer them to Prevent, they should be referred on to Patriotic Alternative to straighten them out and to get them doing positive things for their community and to turn around any negative ethnocentrism that they have, to turn it around to positive ethnocentrism, so that is channeled into doing things for their community. And of course, they're going to look up to the people that are involved in Patriotic Alternative, long-time nationalists, and they would be able to have a positive effect on these youths. And instead of doing that, they just try to tell them that all nationalism is wrong. And of course, people that get involved in nationalism, it's because they are concerned about the things that they see happening around them. And then you get a certain element of them that think that the solution, there's only one solution, and that's going to be violence, and they go down the wrong path. And they are the ones that we need to reach out to prevent them from going down the wrong path. But we don't have any support from the government in doing that. And really, if they really wanted to solve this problem, I would suggest that's what they should be doing, particularly if they have these Muslim groups involved. But then, of course, they're saying that the Muslim groups, because we have them involved, they have a divisive agenda. They don't think that Prevent is going to be successful. And I guess the accusation may then be made, well, yes, but if we got nationalist groups involved, they might also have a divisive agenda and think that Prevent is picking on nationalists in the same way that the Muslim groups think that they're picking on Muslims. So a solution to that would be to have neither Muslim groups or nationalist groups involved, which really seems to be the solution that they're pushing for here. But once they do find somebody and they do identify that they need help, if they're a Muslim, they should be pointed in the direction of Muslim groups that are against extremism. And if they're nationalists, they should be pointed in the direction of nationalist groups that are against extremism. They should be pointed in the direction of Patriotic Alternative. Continuing with what they have to say here, the review of the government's flagship anti-extremism scheme by former Charity Commission Chair William Shawcross is set to call on the Home Office to appoint Prevent coordinators directly, rather than leaving it down to local councils. I think this is sensible, because then you're not going to get this bias there. Fayaz Mughal, founder of anti-extremism charity Faith Matters, said the overhaul needed to stop opponents of the programme from undermining it. He said there is no point in bringing in deeply polarising groups who have no interest in seeing the positive in counter-extremism programmes onto Prevent steering groups. This is totally counterproductive and needs to change. So it's not just that we've been criticising it from the outside here. It sounds like there's been a lot of criticism from the inside. It comes as critics accuse Prevent officials of diverting too many resources towards suspected far-right extremists, despite Islamist radicals posing a far greater threat. Ian Aitchison, a former prison governor and senior advisor at the Counter-Extremism Project, said the official narrative that the far right is the fastest growing threat is a comfort blanket, obscuring the patently more potent threat of Islamist extremism. The body count does not lie, he said. And this is what we've been pointing out from the outside. We've been looking at the people that have been arrested for far-right terrorism, and it turns out that one of them had a drawing in their book of a little cartoon picture of London being bombed. Others had been talking in chat rooms about, well, just boasting about the sort of violent things that they would like to do. But they were all children, and they're either children or they were autistic. And autistic people don't really understand social etiquette. That's what autism is. They don't understand the things that they shouldn't be saying and the things that they should be saying. They have a problem with that. So they're likely just to blurt out whatever it is that they feel or type in whatever it is that they think without understanding that maybe that's not a very wise thing to say. They don't necessarily mean it. I mean, they're just fantasizing. A lot of these people that have been charged with terrorism, they're just fantasists. I mean, one of them was a child living with his grandmother, and they accused him of wanting to set off a nuclear bomb over London because of this cartoon picture. It's essentially they're using a sledgehammer to crack a nut here with this so-called far-right extremism. When they find people like that, they would be much better off pointing them in the direction of Patriotic Alternative rather than charging them as terrorists. When we look at this, and this is before we even get to Prevent, because Prevent doesn't appear to have any nationalist groups that they direct these people to. They just tell them, you shouldn't be doing this. And of course, that doesn't help them because they can see that there's a problem with the country, and these young lads are concerned about the awful things that they see happening in our country, and they want to do something about it. And instead of actually giving them something positive that they can do about it, they just tell them that nationalism is wrong. It's wrong to care about your extended family. But the point that's being made here is that the real threat here is Islamic extremism. And yet we're being told that the real threat is far-right extremism. I mean, Neil Basu came out last year and said it was the fastest growing threat. So all the resources have been targeted against the so-called far right. And while that's been going on, we've had these Islamic extremist attacks. And here we have a former prison governor and a senior advisor to the Counter-Extremism Project that is pointing this out. Ali Harbi Ali, 25, the suspected terrorist accused of murdering Tory MP David Amos on Friday, was referred to the programme 7 years ago, but his case was not deemed enough of a risk to be passed on to MI5. A significant number of these terrorists had been referred to Prevent before going on to commit atrocities. Kari Sadala, 27, fatally stabbed friends James Furlong, Dr. David Wales and Joseph Ritchie Bennett, all white, in Reading Park in June 2020. And it was after that that somebody put up a White Lives Matter banner because all these white men had effectively been murdered. And he was banned from his football ground and he was slandered in the press. And this was right at the height of the Black Lives Matter riots in 2020. And yet he was making a valid point here. Don't white lives matter? Prevent officials were warned that this Kari Sadala could carry out a London Bridge-style attack, but he was assessed and found to have no fixed ideology, The Independent reported. So they missed out on this one that killed these three white men. Another terrorist referred to Prevent was Sudesh Aman, who stabbed two people in Streatham, South London last February. However, a panel decided his case did not require intervention. Usman Khan, 28, who stabbed two young graduates to death after a prisoner rehabilitation event on London Bridge, had come into contact with Prevent officers who had no specific training in handling terrorists, an inquest heard. And he was actually held up as a poster boy for anti-terrorism retraining while he was in prison. Parsons Green bomber Ahmad Hassan was also referred to the anti-terror scheme 20 months before he planted a device on the tube that injured 50 people during rush hour in 2017. But in 2017, right-wing terrorist Darren Osborne drove a van into Finsbury Park Mosque in North London, killing one person. So that's your far-right terrorism in that time since 2017. While from the start of 2017 till today, 36 people have been killed by Islamist terrorists. 36 times as many people have been killed by Islamist terrorists, and yet we've been told that the far right is the fastest growing threat and all the resources need to be diverted towards that. In recent years, much of Prevent's resources have been diverted to tracking suspected right-wing extremists, which make up 43% of cases considered among the most serious last year, compared to just 30% concerning Islamism. Official data shows. Incredible, isn't it? 36 times more likely for it to be an Islamic murder, Islamic extremist murder, and yet the so-called far-right make up 50% more of the Prevent's resources. By comparison, in 2015-2016, 69% were for Muslim extremism and 26% for the far right. The number of cases counted as serious far-right extremism has increased year on year since then, while Islamist ones have fluctuated, and the Islamist attacks have increased year on year. If you think 36 people have been killed by Islamist terrorists from the start of 2017, and just one person has been killed by far-right terrorists. I mean, I would argue that Darren Osborne, although he was found guilty of terrorism, I'm not sure that what he was doing had a political motive behind it. It was more, I think, a revenge attack, and he had learning difficulties. He wasn't a very bright person. He had lots of charges to his name. He had a very long criminal record, and I think he'd been drinking, and I think he went a little bit crazy. But I don't think he had a political motive there. He had revenge as a motive. I think it was revenge because he'd been watching the television, and on the television, the BBC had dramatized the Muslim grooming gangs that raped the 1,400 white girls. And it was a program called Three Girls, I think it was. I haven't actually seen the program. And he watched that, and it was after that he thought that he should go and run some Muslims over, basically. And you can't blame the program. I don't think you can blame anybody for that. It was him that chose to take that decision. But he did have learning difficulties. It's not like he was part of some far-right organization that wanted to take over the country. It was just one man on a revenge attack. And yet that has been portrayed as being far-right terrorism, and the reason why all these resources need to be spent on the far right. In an article for CAPEX, Mr. Aitchison warned that allowing Prevent to be run by councils in partnership with local groups was allowing the scheme to be taken over by activists, exploiting concerns about Islamophobia to challenge the whole concept of de-radicalisation. And I bet that you've got a lot of left-wing activists there as well, and I bet they're using Prevent to try and go after nationalist activists, and I bet they're trying to use Prevent as a way to shut down what they see as the political competition. Mr. Aitchison called for the government to take more control over the program and to orientate it away from a local safeguarding referral system and towards providing a narrower, more muscular security response. And I should also imagine white people maybe find it easier to go after other white people if they get the so-called far-right referred to them. They probably find it easier to send Prevent after them than if they get somebody who is non-white referred to them, because they don't want to be accused of racism, they don't want to be accused of Islamophobia, so they probably find it easier to direct Prevent towards white people. So again, this is why you can't really have those people involved in it. You need an independent adjudicator to decide whether the case is serious enough that it requires an anti-terrorism intervention. The Home Office said the safety of the UK is the government's number one priority. Prevent remains a vital tool for early intervention and safeguarding, and the police and security services work day and night to keep us safe from those who would do us harm. Prevent is currently subject to an independent review, which will be presented to the government in due course. Well, I don't think anybody argues with that the government and the police are trying to keep us safe. What we're concerned about is the fact that the resources are being diverted in the wrong direction, and the ways to keep us safe could be done in a much better way. It could be done in a much, much better way. If they're going to say that there is far-right terrorism, then why do they not have designated so-called far-right groups that these people can be directed to join that would put them on the right path? When they say far-right extremists, of course, they mean nationalists. But we have nationalist groups that are against violence, that seek peaceful political change, democratic change, that try to work within their community, try to be a good influence and encourage people to be a good influence and promote positive ethnocentrism. So why don't the government acknowledge that? Why don't the government acknowledge that and have a representative from Patriotic Alternative that's involved on the board of a Prevent? If we're going to have multicultural countries, we really need to have representation for white people. Because you have representation for all these other groups, they have advocates who advocate for their people, advocate for their community, and they are consulted on every government policy, but we have nobody representing white people that is consulted on government policy. I mean, that's why we have Patriotic Alternative. And instead of hounding members of Patriotic Alternative or supporters of Patriotic Alternative for handing out completely legal leaflets, perhaps the government should look at saying to the press, hang on, just leave these guys alone. They're actually trying to do a positive thing. They're not trying to cause trouble here. They're just trying to improve the situation for everyone. The report by counter-terrorism think tank the Henry Jackson Society said the beleaguered scheme was failing to deliver. Dr. Alan Mendoza of the Society said the PREVENT scheme has been hamstrung by political correctness following a well-organized campaign by Islamist groups and the political left of false allegations of Islamophobia so that its work is skewed away from the gravest threat, that of radical Islam. So again, pointing out that it is the political left that has done this. This is why PREVENT's resources are all going on a group which is least likely to carry out terrorism and have been diverted away from the group most likely to carry it out. The report said there is a fundamental mismatch between the threat posed by Islamist terrorism and the attention given to it by PREVENT. Home Office figures show 22% of all referrals to PREVENT relate to Islamist extremists, while 24% are for neo-Nazi or other far-right extremists. Among cases actually taken up by the PREVENT scheme in its channel program, which mentors individuals to turn them away from terrorist causes, 30% relate to Islamists, compared with 43% who are far-right. So this is the more important program. This is the one where they consider people to be the most concerning, and yet most of them are from the so-called far-right. And there's no nationalist organisations that are involved in helping to turn these people away from terrorist causes. It's no wonder that PREVENT has such a bad reputation, as if they don't really know what they're talking about. If they've got no nationalist advisors that are actually helping them out to do this, to turn people away from extremism. I mean, really, what they're trying to do is that they're trying to turn ethno-nationalists away from negative ethnocentrism towards positive ethnocentrism, which is exactly what we're doing here at Radio Albion. It's exactly what Patriotic Alternative are doing. I mean, that's pretty much the whole point of Patriotic Alternative, is to have a community-based project that encourages nationalists to do things for their community and provides an outlet for them to do these things for their community. And that's the way that we try to look at things here at Radio Albion as well. We try to be objective and encourage the positive ethnocentric way of looking at things. And we don't want people to be negative. We want people to understand that what is going on is just nature. All the different extended kinship groups are competing against one another for influence and power. And what we as an in-group may perceive as an out-group doing something which is to our detriment as the in-group is not because the out-group is trying to harm the in-group. It is because what they are doing is of benefit to the out-group. And if the out-group is doing what is of benefit to the out-group, then they're doing the right thing, aren't they? We as an in-group are doing the wrong thing if we are not doing what is of benefit to our in-group. So we can't complain about Jews doing what's best for Jews. We can't complain about black people doing what's best for black people. We can only really complain about white people not doing what is right for white people. And a lot of that is not having a sense of positive ethnocentrism for our people. If you look at Jews, they're very, very strongly ethnocentric, and they're very charitable to their own people. And if you look at us as white people, we're not charitable to other white people. We don't look at somebody on the left and think, well, he's white. That's what matters, is that he is white. We end up having these political divides. We shouldn't have political divides. We should be looking at white people as being part of our extended family. And we should be doing what we can within our community for our community. That's what Patriotic Alternative are doing. So what we're really engaged in is turning negative ethnocentrism into positive ethnocentrism, which is effectively what this group is trying to do. I should imagine what they claim to be doing is probably trying to switch ethnocentrism off altogether. They probably say, we don't want these so-called far right to have anything to do with nationalism. But you can't expect people to not want what is best for their own group. It's like expecting somebody to turn their back on their family. It's just not realistic. People have their family to thank for everything that they have. And we, as white people, have our ancestors to thank for everything that we have. And it is our duty to do what is best for them. Of course, when we're doing that, we also have to think about these other groups, because we don't want to be doing anything that is going to be harmful to them. But as white people, that is what we are best at doing. Our greatest talent is in being objective and in finding equitable solutions for all. All we've got to do is look for solutions that will benefit us, that are not going to negatively impact these other groups. We can't be accused of inciting hate then. We can't be accused of hating anybody or wishing harm upon them, because we're trying to find equitable solutions. And that is what we are best at doing. And that is the way that we should be looking at this, I think. But of course, I should imagine Prevent just wants to stop ethno-nationalists from being ethno-nationalists altogether, but you can't change your ethnicity. The British Muslim academic who compiled the report, Dr. Raqib Ehsan, said the Prevent scheme's essential aim is to reduce the UK's overall terror threat and maximise public safety. At the moment, it is failing to deliver on this front. It comes amidst fears of a growing threat from so-called bedroom radicals who have soaked up extreme beliefs from the internet over lockdown. Intelligence agencies are struggling to monitor these people because of the difficulty of distinguishing between those spewing hate-filled propaganda and genuine terrorists, security sources told The Times. And of course, they claim that Radio Albion is spewing hate-filled propaganda. We don't hate anyone. We don't hate anyone, and we don't wish harm upon anyone. They should really have people like us here at Radio Albion and the people involved in Patriotic Alternative, they should be involved with this group, because we would direct any of these people that they sent to us in the right direction. We would stop them from thinking that violence is ever going to be a solution. It's not a solution. If violence is our only solution, then we have no solution. Prevent places a duty on local public servants, including teachers, doctors, and social workers, to flag concerns about an individual being radicalised or drawn into terrorism. Since 2015-16, there has been an 80% drop in the number of initial referrals over concerns of Islamic radicalisation and a steady increase in those concerning far-right beliefs. Yet, only one person killed by somebody with far-right beliefs and 36 people killed by someone with radical Islamic beliefs. It coincides with an increasing focus on far-right extremism following the murder of Labour MP Jo Cox by a white supremacist in 2016. And we don't know for certain that there was a political motive to that. They never found a manifesto. He wasn't a member of any organisation. There was no trail online of him being radicalised or him being a member of any groups calling for violence on MPs. And it may have been because he lost the house that he had been living in, and it was taken away by the council. We just don't know why it was that he killed Jo Cox. But because of that, they then concentrated on the so-called far right, and then also because of this Darren Osborne. But that's been the only two actual killings. There was one guy that was he was going to blow up a pub that was going to be having a gay pride night, And it was the nationalists that warned the police that he was going to do this. It was the nationalists in the chat room that he was a part of that said to the police, look, we're concerned that this guy might go and bomb a pub. And yet they still won't invite nationalists into this organisation. And yet we're the ones that warned them about that one. Last year, the Met's anti-terror chief, Neil Basu, warned the far right is Britain's fastest growing terror threat. Yes, but is it a genuine terror threat? I would suggest that it's not a genuine terror threat. And the best way to deal with it, as I keep pointing out, would be to have Patriotic Alternative involved with this organisation and these young lads that they think are at risk of turning towards terrorism. If they were pointed towards Patriotic Alternative, all that energy would be turned around into doing positive things for their community, and they would have positive role models and mentors within Patriotic Alternative to put them on track and prevent them from doing anything like this. But instead of that, we just get attacks in the media. After the initial referral to prevent, cases are categorised depending on the nature of the individual's alleged beliefs, based on evidence ranging from comments they have been overheard making in public to their social media history. People who are not viewed as either far-right or Islamist are categorised as having a mixed, unstable or unclear ideology. Of course, you also have a problem with social media history of people making jokes and people not meaning things seriously. In 2017, there was a spate of really quite extreme jokes that were never meant to be taken seriously. And then after that guy went and shot up a mosque in New Zealand, people stopped making these sort of jokes. But nobody would ever intended people to take them seriously and think that they were meant seriously. But that sort of thing can then be used here, and they could say, oh, this guy's a total extremist. And yet it could just be a young lad that's using racial slurs and making jokes about doing violence to black people. It may just be a person joking, but it could be taken as being serious. And if you have somebody on that board, a sort of left-wing progressive, that is going to look at that and be absolutely shocked, they're going to say, send them to prevent. But then, of course, when they see the devout Muslim who goes to the mosque every week, who is also saying, well, we need to have Sharia law in the country, they will look at that and they'll say, oh, well, yes, but he's a devout Muslim. We don't want to be Islamophobic. We don't want to refer them to prevent. Reports judged to be serious are then referred onto the channel process, which sees a panel of senior council officers, health workers and anti-terror police to decide what action should be taken. While alleged cases of Islamic extremism were slightly more common for initial prevent referrals last year, 24% to 22% for far-right cases, they were less common at the channel phase, the more important one. At this point, after cases deemed to be less serious were filtered out, suspected right-wing extremists made up 43% of cases versus just 30% concerning Islamism. Home Office figures show. The Henry Jackson Society argued that counter-extremism professionals had lost sight of their duty to prevent terrorism. There has been an under-referral of Islamist cases and an over-referral of extreme right-wing cases, and we are now seeing the deadly consequences, the think tank said. And of course, yes, and we pointed this out years ago. We were pointing this out in 2017 and in 2018, 2019, 2020, and now, after David Amos is dead, and countless others, the government are finally saying the same as us. The Prevent Review has been derailed by left-wing groups trying to litigate every aspect of its work, and yet a cold, hard look at the number of cases in which Prevent has fallen short shows this is just the latest in a long line. A security source told The Times police and security-focused agencies are more likely to put people onto support programmes. The NHS, schools, local authorities and other agencies are often much weaker at intervention because they don't want to antagonise faith groups. Sources say the Prevent Review, led by former Charity Commission Chair William Shawcross, is also expected to recommend that inconsistent, disorganised and unstructured panels of up to 20 people are slashed down to 5. Another likely recommendation will be to place suspected extremists on 3-year de-radicalisation programmes rather than the current one, it is claimed. Another challenge facing intelligence agencies monitoring bedroom radicals is extremists are also using anonymous chat sites on the dark web that are hard for spies to penetrate. Spies believe that COVID restrictions meant a lot of terrorist activity was suppressed as radicals appeared willing to abide by the rules. Yesterday, Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab questioned whether it would ever be possible to stop all so-called lone wolf terrorists. It is inherently difficult in a world that we find ourselves in, where you have lone wolf attackers, to have an entirely risk-free counter-terrorism strategy, he told Times Radio. But then you have to think, if we didn't have this multicultural country, would we still be facing these problems? Would we still have Islamic terrorism if we did not have a multicultural country? And these are the sort of problems that we have brought upon ourselves by following that policy. But if we are going to follow that policy, then at least we could divert the resources to where they're supposed to be instead of trying to be politically correct and lying to ourselves and claiming that far-right terrorism poses the same threat. And if they really want to properly de-radicalise the so-called far-right, then they should get some nationalist groups involved too, which we've been saying all along for the last few years, but at least they are now saying the first part of what we've been saying, which is that it's not the far-right that are the threat that you should be worried about. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.